Good Sunday morning. You're listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? This is Christian Talk Radio, here to challenge the status quo. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. But if you want to see a change, if you want a spiritual revolution, if you need a spiritual renewal, stay with us. We are here to inspire, to inform, and to challenge you to consider what does the Lord say regarding life's issues. Visit our website for information on how you can join us for morning prayer, access previous podcasts of this broadcast, or you can even now access and download this podcast in iTunes. There is also information to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or even sponsor this show. Visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. We would love to hear from you.
You know, we're getting closer to Christmas Day, and one of the things we always say to another person, well, have you finished your Christmas shopping yet? And you know, that seems to take over the real sentiment of what Christmas is all about. Christmas is more than about receiving gifts. You know, Jesus Christ is the reason, really is the reason for the season. But what we're finding is that there are other things that are taking the place of Jesus, and it really is intentionally done. You see now, I'm sure you've seen signs where they'll cross out Christ and just have Xmas. And you know, we can never think that's done unintentionally. This is an intentional act. And even when you go to stores, they don't want the cashiers and clerks to say Merry Christmas anymore.
I just pray that we as believers don't fall into that same frame of thinking, and that we don't take Christ out of Christmas, that I still say Merry Christmas. I don't change my Merry Christmas to Happy Holidays. Christ is the reason for the season. That's why his name is in it. You can't have Christmas without Christ. This is a celebration of Christ.
If God be God, then serve him.
We want to say to everybody early, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. And remember that Jesus is the reason for the season.
The only reason.
That's right. So I'm going to read to you Judges, starting at the 6th chapter and starting at the 21st verse and going down to 32. Okay? So starting at the 25th verse. And it says, "It came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that they... thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God unto the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, Who have done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, Bring out thy son, that he might die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash says unto all that stood against him, Will you plead for Baal? Will you save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death. Well, it is yet morning. If he be a god, small g, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore, on that day he called unto Zerubbabel, saying, Let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar.
Gideon had a command from God to go pull down the statue of Baal and to erect an altar to God. And his father and his father's house worshiped at this altar of Baal. And so he didn't want to do it during the day. He thought that they would withstand him and prevent him from doing it. But there's one thing about it. If God has commanded you or commissioned you to do something, doing, he will also make a way for you to do it. But the thing is that Gideon went and did this. He planned to do it at night so that they would be asleep and would not know. And doesn't this remind you of someone else in the Bible named Nicodemus? He wanted to do what was right before God, but he didn't want the folks around him to know. So he came to Jesus, according to scripture, at night.
At night.
And he was seeking the instruction and the salvation of Jesus at night because he feared the rulers with whom he served. So Gideon, because he feared those in his father's household because they did serve this idol god Baal, he did this at night. But the thing about it is, LJ Renee, that when they asked the question, who did this thing? No one hesitated to say that was Gideon. So even though he did it at night and men were supposed to be asleep, they knew he had done it and no one hesitated to turn him in. So don't be afraid to do what God has called you to do, because if he called you to do it, he who has called you will also make a way.
We are talking about Gideon today, the commission for Gideon to tear down the high places and the idols. And the reason why is because idols take away the attention and the worship due to the one and only and true and living God. God was telling Gideon to tear down the high places and bring back the attention back to God, that he's able to prosper the land.
One of the reasons why is because the people had cried out unto God for him to come deliver, and God had sent Gideon as the judge at that time. And before God would deliver the Midianites into their hands, he had to first take down these idols, because otherwise, when the Midianites would be delivered, they would run into the temple and worship the idol Baal.
That's
and
right.
Say Baal has delivered them and Baal has gotten them the victory, because he didn't just stop there. When Gideon tore down the idol, also when he assembled the army together, God said, you got too many men, because if I let you go with this many men, not only would they have said it was Baal, we've taken care of that, but then they would say that the army was strong and the army was great, and that by the power of their own hands they have gotten. God does not want to be second to anyone
Anybody.
Else. He's not willing to be a God in your life. He's only willing to be the God
That's
in your
right.
life. There is only one Lord. There is only one Lord, and he will not stand
baptism.
Beside another.
And just look at it as it is today. Even when we were talking about the Christmas season and how it seems as though that now everybody want their part, that is no longer about Jesus, but it's about, you know, what I want and the God I serve. And the thing about that is this, that God saying, listen, you are having trouble in your land. And the reason why you are having trouble is because you're serving other gods. It's because you have taken your attention off of me, the provider, the healer, the deliverer, and you've put it on other gods to deliver you. And that just won't work. So in order for you to be delivered, there's some things that you got to do. And that is that you got to tear down the strongholds. You got to tear down the altars. You have to tear down the high places so that I will begin to prosper you. You got to begin to turn the people's hearts back to me. And that's exactly what we're seeing. And I can even hear and through this that God wants us to cry out unto him, because there are so many things that are going on in our nation today where it has taken our focus away from God. We're serving at the altar of secularism. We're serving at the altar of humanism. We're serving at the altar of the government. We're serving at the altar of so many things for them to help us. But God said, I am the God that have brought you out of bondage. And he's asking us to turn our hearts back to him. And believe me, he is going to have his way. We are going to turn back to God. It may be done through calamity, but our hearts are going to turn back to God.
Because all men will know.
All
God
men will know
God.
That God is God. But the question is that he called Gideon, mighty man of valor. He called Gideon to lead the way to tear down the strongholds. And he is asking us today to do the same exact thing.
And so Gideon, when he called him, Gideon knew that the people would be enraged. He knew that they would be angry. And that's why he set out to do this at night. And how many of us know that that which God has called you to do, that which he has called you to speak, is contrary to the populace opinion? And people are not going to be pleased. They are not going to throw you a parade. They are not going to celebrate you because of it. In spite of knowing that, you've got to set your face like a flint and give them the word of the Lord anyway. You've got to speak forth the truth of God anyway. The Bible says when the men came to the Gideon's father's house to get him because they wanted to kill him, because he had taken down their idol, that his father Joash had said unto those who came for Gideon, he says, I'm not going to send him out to you. Now, you've got to remember that Gideon's father was also a Baal worshiper, but God had given Gideon favor that his father might defend his son, that God might deliver and save Gideon at the hand of Gideon's father. So when the men came to his father's house, Joash said, I will not send him out to you. He said, are you willing to stand and fight for Baal? I mean, after all, isn't he your God? Isn't he the one you pray to? Isn't he the one that you believe has all authority and power and might? Do you need to stand and defend Baal? Let Baal defend Baal for himself. And they began to call Gideon Jerubbaal. It means the contender of Baal or the contender with Baal. So Gideon was the one then that became known as he that had contended with Baal, and he had won. They had all of these idol gods. I know that in Greece, when we had opportunity to travel over there, that is a wonderful, the ruins over there are wonderful to see, but that is a land where they have so many Greek gods and they worship and serve at so many altars of these gods. And they have even in the Bible day, they had even erected an altar to the unknown God, because they had a God of the land and a God of the sea and a God of the light and a God of the water and a God of the earth. And they said, just in case we forgot one of the gods, so as not to offend a deity, we will erect a statue to the unknown God. And even Paul himself came to them and he said, listen, they didn't want to hear about Jesus. So he said, listen, I'm going to preach to you about that, the one that you call the unknown God. Since you don't know who he is, Paul described him as the Lord Jesus Christ. They had so many gods that they had to erect a statue to the one that they might have forgot. And they just labeled him the unknown God. If there's anything that you cleave to more than you cleave to your God, those might be some idols that you need to bring down. These things are things that you have lifted up above the glory of God in your heart.
So it says in this that the people were enraged when Gideon tore down the idols that they served. And I'm thinking of even in today we're talking about idols, and people are enraged when we begin to start standing up against abortion. People are enraged when we begin to stand up for and defend marriage between a male and a female. People become enraged when they do not want us to use the name of Jesus. People become enraged because we are fighting to put prayer back in the schools. You can always tell when there's an idol has been erected, because the people become enraged and they have set themselves to really to stop you from doing that.
When God demands that we tear down the idols in our life, be it in our culture, in our church, or in our heart, then he also likewise demands that we replace it with him. He doesn't want that space left empty. The same as when he talks about when we cast demons out of people, you don't leave that temple empty, but they need to be filled up with God, lest something worse come upon them. So when you get rid of these idols, we need to replace it with the worship of God, lest we then fill it up with other idols, even more vile than the one that we are getting rid of. God wants to be the Lord of your life, the King of your soul. You should be able to testify with me today. How great is our God? How great is our God? Let all the earth proclaim that our God is great, and he is greatly to be praise. How great is our God?
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God?
Great is our God. There is a name above every name, and that name is Jesus. How great is our God. He is deserving of our honor, and he is deserving of our praise. And those high places that God have pointed out, you have to deal with those things. We have to deal with them. We cannot ignore it. We cannot pretend that it does not exist. But what God is calling for us to do is depend upon him, because it is the grace of God. It's the grace of God that would empower us to go through that process, to eliminate that sin out of our lives. In the scriptures, it says, if you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, he said that he will exalt you in due season. But what we have to do is humble ourselves before the Lord. And then there's another process, is that we confess what we have done. We confess the idols that we have in our
and
lives.
Forsake it.
There is a process that we have to go through, and it is through the word of God. When we have humbled ourselves under the mighty hand of God, when we confess with our mouth the thing that has held us captive, then what we have to do is follow the instructions of the Lord, and the instructions are found in the word of God. Now, whatever it is that you have held up higher than God, that he has a word for it, and he's asking you only just to believe in him and turn away from that idol that have held you bondage, that trend of thinking that you have. You've been in the world for so long that now you are now captivated by the culture of the world. He said, listen, let that go and come and know the ways of the Lord. And when you do that, God will begin to fight the battle for you.
God is God. He said, I am the Lord God, and beside me there is not another God. He's a jealous God. He won't share his glory with another. And God forbid any one of us try to stand in the glory of the living God. Even of Gideon, when God had used him to deliver the people out of the hands of the Midianites, they said, why don't you be our king? He said, I'm not going to be your king, and my son's not going to be your king. But God himself is going to be your king. We have tore down these idols. We have made a place in your heart for the Lord, and they still didn't get it. They still wanted a man to be their king. They still wanted a man to rule over them when God himself had delivered them. And they never seemed to get that lesson, because later on you find they picked Saul because he stood a hair above the rest. Because when God himself was their king, they still wanted an earthly, fleshly king.
You remember in the Bible, he also would tell them, listen, don't take the wives, don't marry the wives that are outside the camp of Israel. That's what brought down Solomon.
You know,
the Lord had blessed Solomon above any other man with wisdom that he had given him. But he told him, he said, listen, don't marry any other woman other than basically from Israel. But what did he do? He took concubines. He took all kind of women and brought them underneath his home, his roof, and began to have relationship with them. And what happened was he began to start serving the gods of those women that God told him not to even marry. So what he did was is that he joined himself to those women who served other gods. And not only that, they influenced him so much.
They influenced him.
That he began to start building high places and altar in honor of those gods because he wanted to please the women that he were with. And that's why God says to eradicate these idols out of your life, because they will draw you back into sin. The association with them will cause your mindset to change. Your heart will become divided. You will begin to despise the rule and instructions of God.
And it always starts with your association. You're like, yeah. I'm going to change them. They're not going to change me. Those are always the last words of someone before they go back on what God has told them not to do. And so we fall into this repetitive thing that we think that it won't affect me. Why would it not affect you? It's affected everybody that's come before you.
If it catches your eye, and draw you to it, it will affect you. But if you keep going to that thing that your eye continued to be attracted to, you're going to end up falling into the control of that very thing.
You think I can mess with drugs or alcohol. I can mess with pornography or these things that are ungodly. It won't affect. It doesn't have me. I'm just using it. Yeah, that's what they all said until it took them over.
It's a spirit of seduction.
And it consumed them.
That's right.
Because you began to give it your affection, your attention in your heart. And then that thing takes the place of your God. And you begin to thirst for it. You ever talk to an addict that wants to be free and how they're talking about, I have this thirst, and they have this itch, and there's this itch they can't seem to scratch, this thirst they can't seem to quench, because they once had this high, they once had this satisfaction, and they're striving forever to get back to
it,
and they'll never get back to it. But there's a thirst, there's a hunger, there's this drive in them that wants to get back to it. And that's the way it is. It hooks you and reels you in. If I'm gonna be thirsty, I want to be thirsty for God. If I'm gonna be hungry, I want to be hungry for God. If I'm gonna be addicted, I want to be addicted to Jesus.
Let's go in to talk about what are the high places today.
So addiction would be one of those high places. If you are addicted to anything, that which draws your heart affection and attention away from your God, that which drives you and pushes you. I mean, you think you're in control of it, but it is driving and pushing and controlling you. So that is one addiction. I think that we had mentioned earlier about even in our government system, secularism and humanism is also a high place in our government system. That which causes us to turn our backs toward God and toward the things of God, that which causes us and those in government to say that we can't follow after the truth of God, but we've got to take God out of the school and take God out of the court. That is that humanism and secularism that we have lifted up in our culture as an idol, and it drives us away from our God.
The God of secularism and humanism is meaning that I no longer want God to be in control. I no longer want to submit myself under the hand of God. I want to do it myself because I know what is good for myself. I know what my flesh is craving for. Matter of fact, there is an air that says that I want to take control of my own life. If it feels good, then I want to do it. If I want to marry someone else that looks like me and of the same sex that I am, then I want to do that. And then in scriptures, in Psalms 2, it says it pretty plainly. It says, why do the heathen rage, and why do they imagine a vain thing? And it talks about that. It says the reason why they do that is because they do not want to be under the control of an almighty God. And we have to be careful of that, because a lot of times that thing that draws you away is not seen very clearly. spiritually. You have to see the underlying purpose of it. When they tell us that we should be able to do what we want to do.
And that you remember that song, that old song, it says, go on and do it, do it, do it till you're satisfied. Whatever it is, you ought to do it and do it till you're satisfied. And that is that mentality that humanism and secularism drives us to, that you ought to do whatever you want to do. And you ought to do it until you are satisfied.
Yes. And the thing about it is, what we don't realize it is that that might sound good, and
it might make a good song.
It might make a good song. It might even feel good. But the bottom line to the foundation of secularism and humanism is the Antichrist spirit and humanism. And then we're talking about the idol of the church. And that is with traditions. That's doing the same thing the same way all the time and not allowing room for God.
You think you know how God moves and you think you got him all figured out. You got your program, and when you're ready for God to move, then you'll give God the okay to do what God wants to do. And when you're ready for you to move, then you put God back in the box. Who has instructed the Almighty and who has counseled the Lord? I mean, who has been his God and who has been his counselor? He's not going to do what you tell him to do. He's not at your beck and call where you can snap your finger like a genie and he come out of a bottle. You think that you got God all figured out and you can box him in and say, this is God and this is not God, and God go here and God do this. You might be able to do that with your idol gods, but with the Lord God, your maker, he's created heaven and earth, and he knows the end from the beginning, and no man has ever, I think you need to go back and read the book of Job. No man has ever been God's counselor. There is only one Lord and God to whom all men should bow down and worship. God will be your God. God will defend you. God will deliver you. In the midnight hour, there is none else there to call upon than the name of the Lord Jesus. In my time of distress, no one else delivered me but the Lord Jesus Christ.
And he's saying even today that when you come, there is nothing required of you. You don't even have to worry about praying to someone else. You don't have to worry about paying someone else. You don't even have to worry about if you're going to say 3 or 4 Hail Marys. Mm. All he wants you to do is to bow your knee unto him, bow your heart to him, and that he will deliver.
Dear God, we thank you that you are Lord, you are Savior, you are King, and you are God. And there is no God like Jehovah. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would turn your searchlight from heaven upon our hearts and search us, dear God, from the inside out. Do a thorough search of us, God. And whatever you find in us that should not be, would you bring it to light take it out, God? Create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. Don't let anything in us, God, drive us away from our God. Don't let anything separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. But dear God, may we be willing to lay it all at the altar of God. May we be willing, dear God, to give up anything that would hinder us from serving you. May we have the testimony of the Lord Jesus, not my will, but thy will, O God, be done in me. Have your way, God, have your way. We thank you for the blood of the Lamb that reaches to the lowest valley and goes up to the highest mountain. We thank you for the blood that will never lose its power. Now, dear God, may you cleanse our minds and cleanse our hearts from all unrighteousness. May you, God, give us a renewed mind and commitment to serve you. May you, God, give us fresh anointing. Those who have not been baptized in the Holy Ghost, would you baptize them today, God? Those who have been filled, would you refill us today, God, that we would have renewed fervency for you, that we would be revived and renewed, God, that we would be restored and made whole. Father, we love you and we thank you and we glorify you, and we bind the hand of the enemy that comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. We cast down every idol. Lord, we cast down every high place.
Yes,
oh God, we surrender every idol in the presence of our God. Forgive us, dear
thank
God,
you,
for for having lifted up anything above our God. Forgive us for having erected any idols in the sight of our God. Forgive us, dear God, for not having loved you with our whole heart, our whole mind, and our whole soul. Would you try us again, dear God? Would you try us again? And Father, we commit our lives into your hands today, and we say, have your way in the blessed, glorious, mighty name that has been given unto us under heaven, the only name whereby we can be saved. We lift this prayer in your name, Jesus. Yes. We pray. Amen.
Amen.
We thank you for tuning in. You have been listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? For information on this program, on how you can subscribe to or access previous podcasts of this broadcast, visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. Until next time.